This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello everybody, good morning and welcome to the United Stand. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. We're going to be talking about Cavani, Varane, Maguire, Jadon Sancho, James Garner and a lot of other things as well. But I must just start off, I saw somebody just there on Twitter saying, if we sign Ronaldo, what happens to Cavani? Cavani ends up sat on the bench on 200 grand a week, very unhappy, which is why it's not going to happen. I don't know why people, I suppose I do know why it's happening, because football is so flippant and everybody has a different opinion every minute. But I woke up this morning to Ronaldo's in the Europa League and I thought, oh shit, have they ended Serie A early? Oh no, they haven't. There's still three games to go and they're only a point off top four. It's just sensationalist. It's not going to happen. He's not going to, you know, I think Juventus will make top four, and I also don't think Manchester United are going to sign Ronaldo because they want to keep Cavani. They want to keep Cavani and he's not even Italian. But Fabrizio Romano is Italian and he says that Manchester United's priority is to keep Cavani at the club this summer. He's also mentioned that Varane has not signed any new contract with Real Madrid and has shown no indication of signing a new contract with Real Madrid at the moment. So two deals potentially close for Manchester United there, because we know that Manchester United are big admirers of Varane and they're definitely big admirers of Cavani. I'll tell you this, I mean, look, take it with a pinch of salt if you want to, because I would, if it was definitely 100%, I'd do a video on it. But strong indications, somebody said it on the Match Reaction yesterday, I think it was, and it's definitely verifies information that I've heard, that Cavani's contract is basically done, and a couple of sources have leaked it out from the dressing room that Cavani's deal is done, and it's just about announcing it when is a good time. Now, we did hear last week that Eric Bailly's contract was actually sorted a week before, when all the Super League stuff was going on, and they kept it back as a good news story when all the Super League stuff was over. So maybe they're waiting for the good time of announcing Cavani, because I'm pretty much sure, but I don't do this whole 90% stuff anymore. If it happens, you know. No, unless there's a big change in opinion at Manchester United, Cavani will be staying at Manchester United. And I think that, as I said yesterday, Dumbledore, you know, he's the headmaster. Also call him Top Gun, because he's the best striker in the air I've seen in the Premier League this season. He's unbelievable. And, you know, look, I said after the Leipzig game, a lot of people were saying Ollie out. I said, give him till May. I've said for a while he deserves a new contract based on this season. A lot of people didn't like that. But ultimately, I could sit here and say, oh, you know what, I was right. But I'm not like that, because I can also sit back and say I didn't like the Cavani deal when it happened. And I didn't like the Cavani deal because I was pissed off and I was petulant and I acted like a silly little child. And everybody knows I did. But the reason I did is because I felt that that was a signing that was to mug fans off. You know, look at our new number seven that you weren't looking at a week ago, that you literally are desperate for, and you just bought somebody to try and rescue the window. Well, you know what? The only person who really deserves credit is Edison Cavani, because Man United weren't looking at Cavani last summer. They weren't looking at Cavani until about 3 days left of the transfer window. It was a desperation signing. So Cavani deserves the credit, not Manchester United, because they weren't looking at him. They got lucky. But what a signing he's been. I mean, I did hear something very interesting today, though, to be honest. I mean, I want Cavani to stay. If you'd asked me 2 months ago, I didn't. If you'd asked me a month ago, I don't think I did, because I was like, I'm worried about his injury record, and I also think he's going to go in a year anyway. So does this show progression of a football club, or is it about saving money? And I think it's both. I think from a fan base, everybody wants Cavani to stay, because he's doing a fantastic job. I mean, to come off the bench yesterday and just flick that header in, but we know, we've seen it. I mean, yesterday's nothing new. We've seen it against Southampton. We've seen it numerous times this season that he is, without doubt, one of the best strikers still in the world now. I mean, I think the great thing about the move for Cavani, and if I was Ollie, I would have said this. The thing is that nobody really thought of you as one of the best strikers in the world. Cavani's always a name that everyone goes, oh, he's a good striker. But at PSG, you're behind Mbappe, you're behind Neymar in the French league. Cavani's a good striker, but nobody was really saying that he was one of the best in the world, and I don't think that they were. respect on his name, definitely. But no, you know, this is why I didn't want him. I was like, you know, he's playing in the French league, he's 33, he's injury prone, you know, he's coming towards the end of his career, just wants a payday. And then what we've actually seen is that, you know what, he is still one of the best strikers in the world. And, you know, he deserves the credit for that. He really, really does. But what I would say is I did hear somebody say this. And look, I think, you know, the world is full of opinions now. You see him on TikTok. You see him on bloody YouTube. You see him on Twitter. Everybody's got an opinion. And I'm very relaxed about that because I'm like, look, I've got an opinion. If people don't like it, they don't like it. If people like it, they do. It's my opinion. As long as I'm happy with my opinion, I don't really care what anybody else thinks. So, but I saw this on Twitter today and I thought, you know, he's going really against the wave here. And he's going to get swallowed up by the wave. But actually, what he was saying is actually right. What he said was, I like Cavani, but the deal's not a good deal. He is still injury prone. He is going to have big money. And ultimately, it's just the Glazers saving money again, because in a year's time, he's gone. And a club that was ambitious would go and get the striker that's going to be here for the next 5-6 years. And I thought, the problem is, you're right, but the problem is, we're pragmatically right as well. We know that United will not spend £300 million this summer. So do I want them to spend £150 million on a striker right now when I want them to buy a centre-back and a CDM? And I suppose we're being pragmatic fans because we're being realistic. I want them to buy the striker, the right winger, the centre-back and the CDM. That's how you get to Man City. But I know we're not going to do that. So I'm like, well, no, let's keep Cavani another year and spend the money on a centre-back and a CDM. So that's why I'm happy about it. Also, I want to see Cavani play in front of fans. But no, I'll be honest with you. He's not going to play a lot of games next season. He's not played a lot of games this season. But I want to see the money spent on other areas. Mark, could be a realistic scenario and we should ship out Cavani to get Ronaldo back in, or do you think we could accommodate both? We can't accommodate both. Ronaldo and Cavani, no. They're the same player now. They're both at the back end of their career. They're both obviously top quality players. I mean, Ronaldo's better than Cavani, as we know, but you can't play both. You can't play both of them, afraid. And also, Ronaldo would cost so much money. I mean, I'd love to have both. I think it would be great to, you know, because Cavani won't play every game. He will get injured. Of course he will. He's been injured, what, 2-3 times this year? 6 or 7 times in the last 18 months for PSG. So he will get injured. But this is where Martial's importance, I suppose. We'll see. Wouldn't surprise me if Chelsea get Varane, Sancho and Rice. Oh, Tron. You have to ruin my day, because I tell you what, I think, look, I've said this before about Chelsea, well-run club, financially back their manager, whether their manager turns out to be right or not, Tuchel is, you know, he's already got the squad that we want. I watched Chelsea against Man City at the weekend, and I think that they do have this very good squad. I mean, Kovacic is missing and they're passing Chelsea Man City off the pitch. So Chelsea already have a good team, but this is what we're up against. I've said this before. The having a good 11 isn't, you know, we're trying to get a good 11. Man United are talking about, well, we're going to make a couple of signings, we're going to have a good 11. And it's like, that's not the new thing anymore. That's not the new thing. Having a good 11 is not the thing. That was the Liverpool thing a couple of years ago, a really good 11 that you play every week. Now you've got to have a really good 17, 18 players. And that's what Man City have got. That's what Chelsea have got. We haven't got that. So Man City and Chelsea will definitely be the two to look out for next season. I think it's always dangerous to say they're going to be the two title contenders, because you never know what's going to happen with people like Liverpool and hopefully United. But we, if Chelsea get Varane, Sancho and Rice, on top of what they've already got, How do you get close to a team like that? And that's the challenge. Look, I know United are going to spend money this summer. If there's anybody listening at Manchester United, listen to that comment there. Chelsea are going to get Varane, Sancho and Rice. That's who we need. All three. Not one of them and go, yay, come on, give me, where's my high five? The Glazers are back in town. Piss off. You're not back in town with one signing. Go and get all three. If you really are serious about trying to win the fan base back, and look, that's going to take... That's probably an impossible mission anyway. But don't wheel out Sancho and go, yeah, man, we're back. You know, three players, Declan Rice, Varane, Sancho. Those three players, then there is at least an indication that you are serious about, you know, turning things about. But look, that won't be enough in itself, and it won't happen. Saw some stuff on social media that Ramos has followed a lot of PSG players on Instagram. If Ramos was to leave, would Real let Varane go, says Omka. Well, look, I think Varane's a very hard deal. Let's talk about Varane for a moment. So Varane and Fabrizio Romano is saying that there is no deal in place for Rafael Varane, and this is very much something that will be sorted out at the end of the season. Ramos has started following a lot of PSG players. I've got to be honest. If I was Rafael Varane, I would leave Real Madrid. I don't care what money they're offering me. I would leave Real Madrid. The Super League isn't going to happen. Real Madrid, what was the Real Madrid result last night? Are they going to win the league? I didn't see the result with Sevilla. I mean, I'd be very careful. BVHV is right. I would be very careful. Ramos could well be trolling PSG fans. He certainly very nearly came to Manchester United, apparently, and then didn't. So, but if I was Varane, I would leave Manchester United because... I would leave Real Madrid because they're not going to be winning... This is going to get clipped, but you can imagine they're holding up the league, the Premier League, the Champions League next year. I don't think Real Madrid are going to win the Champions League anytime soon. For me, Real Madrid are nowhere near the Premier League. Now, I think Man United can beat Real Madrid. And people might laugh at that, but hold on a minute. We've beat Man City this year. We're second in the Premier League. Chelsea beat Real Madrid. Manchester United can beat Real Madrid. Liverpool should have beat Real Madrid, but just didn't turn up. They're having a bad season. Real Madrid should be beating Man United. They should be beating Chelsea. They're nowhere near that level. And they're nowhere near that level because they haven't got the quality of player. So if I had, if I was Varane, I would leave. And if Varane is leaving, then Manchester United should be buying him. Let's not forget how bad our last transfer window was compared to others. And what we achieved this season is nothing short of miraculous. Praise Ollie, says Anil. Well, you can't force opinion onto people, Anil. I think, you know, that's something I've learned over the years. You can't do that. But we've lost 4 games this season, all of them at home. We've not lost away this season. 2 of our 4 losses came in the first 3 games when we hadn't had a pre-season. One of them was to Arsenal and it was a penalty, and the other one to Sheffield United was just a bottle job, wasn't it? But over a whole season, we've lost 4 games. And that is with a centre-back pairing that is bubble-wrapped. That is with 2 CDMs that aren't C2 CDMs. You know, that are basically 2 people doing one player's job. And this shows to me that when you've got people like Mason Greenwood, Bruno Fernandes, Marcus Rashford, Luke Shaw, Paul Pogba, Edison Cavani, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Harry Maguire, you've got 8 players, and they're 2 goalkeepers, 10 players there, 10 players there that are players that you can build something around. Obviously, one of the goalkeepers needs to go. So you've got 9 players there that you can really build something on. But we need 16. We need another centre-back. We need a CDM. We need a right winger. We need to utilise some of our squad better. So I think Ollie's done a great job. But I think we're all very clear here that, yeah, let's all have a party. Ollie's the best thing since sliced bread. He's done a really good job. But you're lying to yourself if you think this team's going to ever win a Premier League or a Champions League. It's done really well. I wouldn't even say it's exceeded. You know, I don't even like it when people say we've overachieved. I don't think we've overachieved. I think we've been in the top 2 for a very long time. I think we've hit a ceiling. That's not overachieving. Hitting a ceiling is that I don't think we can go any further with what he's got at the moment. He's got to be given 3, 4, 5 really good players. And he must get 3 this summer. And he must know that. You know, that's the thing. Does Solskjaer know that? Does Solskjaer, or is Solskjaer sat there going, we're fine with McFred. I'm happy with Magaluf. If he's saying that, then I think he's going to have a problem. But I can't imagine that he's saying that. And I just want to say as well, there's this myth that you know, people don't like Harry Maguire. I don't see it in the live chat. I don't see it in the watch-alongs. I don't see a dislike for Harry Maguire. I think the problem with Harry Maguire is that he's had a bad start to the season. And because he had a bad start to the season, he's suddenly a bad centre-back. I've heard people praising Harry Maguire since Christmas, which is what I've done as well. I think since Christmas, pretty much since when we played Everton away in the Carabao Cup and he played next to Eric Bailly, he had a few games with Eric Bailly and then Lindelof obviously came back in. But I think Maguire since Christmas has been consistent. He's had bad moments. He has had bad moments. I thought even against Roma, he should have been marking Dzeko better. But, you know, those things are going to happen. I think consistently he's been doing well. I don't think he's been... I also don't think he's been Ruben Diaz or Van Dijk or anything like that good. But I think he's, you know, he's been he's been good. Next season will be huge for him. But look, this injury that he got yesterday, it's a problem. You know, and I think that shows his importance to the team, is that if he was performing badly, like if Lindelof gets injured, with all due respect, people will go, yes, Bailly and Maguire. With Maguire injured, you're like, shit, you know, Bailly and Lindelof, it could work. But so I think Maguire won't play tomorrow night against Leicester. But and knowing Maguire, he'll be back for Liverpool. And knowing Maguire, he'll play injured because he wants to play in the Euros. But I mean, I when I say injured, he'll, you know, he's not going to take ages to come back. But if he's out, if he is out for a period of time, he's a big loss. And I think that, you know, whatever you think about Harry Maguire, it's very, very... I think it's very important in life, and I think it's also very important in football to realise that you're not wrong. You've not been proved wrong. Your opinion has changed based on evidence. You know, an opinion you had 6 months ago is right if you felt it was right then. But having the class to change your opinion and not be stubborn, that's the thing. I see people who don't like Luke Shaw, and they still today talk about positional sense. He's not good enough. He's trash. And you know why that is? Because their head is so far up their own arse that they cannot accept that they've been proved wrong. But they haven't even been proved wrong. If you thought Luke Shaw was a bad player a year ago, I disagree with you, but you know, he's definitely a better player now. I've always rated Luke Shaw. I've always felt that he was a very, very good left back. But if you didn't think he was a year ago, that's fine, because that was your opinion then and maybe you had reason to believe that. If you think he's a bad left back now, that's just stubbornness. And I think that damages you more than it damages anybody else, because he's one of the best left backs in the world at the moment. If you thought Harry Maguire was bad at the start of the season, I did. I did. But if you think he's bad now, I think you're being unfair, because I do think since Christmas he's been a lot better and he's been very good for us. And I think that, especially football, it does change. It really does change, because every game makes it change. I mean, look, this is probably not going to happen, but if imagine next season we win the league. This time next year we've won the league, right? Don't laugh. No, don't. I mean, winning the league next year is unlikely, but you're going to laugh at the next bit. If we win the league next year and he does it with McTominay and Fred, you will get people going back going, Wow, you know what, McFred, you were all slating them, and I was stood by them. Well, where are you then? Can you put your tweets out now, and we can all frame them so that when we win the league with McFred, we can all give you a massive shout out. The reality is, we could win the league next year with McFred. It's very, very unlikely. Phil Jones could come back and be the best player and win the Ballon d'Or. Very unlikely. But if we did win the league next season with McFred, it wouldn't make it wrong to say this season they've not really been that good. But who knows what, you know, Gabriel, not the Arsenal centre-back, the singer, dreams can come true, and who knows, it could. But the opinion that they're not very good now doesn't mean that they can't be amazing next year. But that's a hypothetical load of bollocks, that is. I mean, it won't happen. We ain't winning the league with... I don't think we can win the league with Maguire and Lindelof. I think Maguire needs somebody better next to him. I certainly don't think we're going to win the league with McTominay and Fred. And I hope Ollie doesn't think that, because ultimately it won't happen, in my opinion. Munich, Bayern Munich in for Jadon Sancho. Let's talk about that for a moment. So apparently Bayern Munich's ears have pricked up about Jadon Sancho, and they are now very interested. I think Jadon Sancho wants to come back to England. I think he wants to play in the Premier League. And I think that... don't do the Premier League a disservice, I would say. I've been very vocal this year about the Premier League and how good it is. And it's been proven that the Premier League is the best league in the world. And I think it's been the best league in the world for a few years now. I know PSG and Bayern were in the final last year, but PSG are not reflective of the French league. They are a superpower team. And I know they're not going to win the French league, which is amazing, and well done to Lille, but... they are a superpower team. Their squad last year was unbelievable. And Bayern Munich are a superpower team. And I don't think they're a fair reflection of the Bundesliga. The Premier League is the best league in the world. We may not always have the best team in the world, because Bayern Munich and PSG have this ability to build these amazing squads. But it's the best team it's the best league in the world. And I think what you're starting to see now is that players want to play in this league. And Jadon Sancho, being English, wants to come home. So I don't think Jadon Sancho would go to Bayern Munich. Having said that, if it's the best offer on the table and no one else makes the offer, then maybe he would. There's certainly, I wouldn't get lost in the whole, you don't go from Dortmund to Bayern. Germany has this weird thing in their league that you'd never get in the Premier League. It's a bit like, you know, it's a bit like living on a street where everybody gets on with everybody, but there's somebody who lives on the street who basically shags everyone's wife or husband, you know, diversity, because you'd never think that. Oh, your neighbour, yeah, I'm taking your wife for the week. That's Bayern Munich. They literally have taken players from their biggest rival, Dortmund. Lewandowski's gone there, Hummels has gone there, Götze has gone there. So Sancho could go there, but I don't think he will. So it can happen in Germany, and it does happen a lot. Bayern Munich just take, you know, it'd be like Man United, it'd be like Man City going, right, we'll have Bruno and Rashford this summer. It will never happen, but in Germany that can happen. I know Ollie doesn't rotate, but maybe if we did rotate, we might not be in the position we're in now. We don't have a good enough depth, says Ben Thornton. When does the transfer window open and close? We win the league next year, dream big, says Bente. And I remember a few weeks ago when asked about which player he would want back from the prime, Ollie said Roy Keane. I guess this implies that he's aware that we need a proper CDM. I hope so, I said Almka. In relation to the transfer window, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do think that the transfer window opens on something like June the 8th and closes on August the 31st. It has previously in the last few years been open now. I think it's like the 16th of May, but I'm pretty sure it's the 8th of June. I'm sure somebody in the live comments could let us know. Glazer out campaign already making a difference. THG pulled their 120 million bid for the training sponsorship. Keep it up, Mark, says Jonah. Yeah, I thought it was a 200 million thing, but there's a lot going on with that at the moment. I must admit, the Glazer out movement, I think some people think it's a very important thing to bring in. I haven't finished on Sancho, but I think some people feel that the Glazer out movement is already dying. I don't feel this. I don't know what anybody else feels. It's just that it was going to be a marathon, not a sprint. You cannot keep the intensity that was there 2 weeks ago 24 hours a day. You know, most videos we were doing on this channel was talking about the Glazers. It's not going to be like that. And I don't mean this channel, but I mean in general. Like, we won a game yesterday, and I think for me, I compartmentalise the team and the Glazers. Like, the team has my backing. I want it to do well. But the great thing about the team is that it's got four or five big holes in it, and only the Glazers can fix those. So that's why I started my match reaction with yesterday. Very good result. But imagine what would happen if we had a CDM, a centre-back and a right-winger. Well, we haven't. And the Glazers are meant to give those players. So there you go, back from the team to the Glazers. It's very easy to keep your frustration going, but also support the team, because I look at that team and I think if it was invested in properly, it should be catching Man City. It really should. And that's on the Glazers to do that. But yeah, you know, there's a protest on Thursday. I must admit, the whole unity and communication thing, I'll be honest with you, because when there's things to do like the petition and there's things to do like, you know, last week there was some, you know, not a penny more. People need to communicate what's happening better. I must admit that it has gone a bit quiet over the last sort of 4 or 5 days, because as I've said to everybody, the United Stand is there for any, you know, for any organised thing to let us know, and we'll feed it out to everyone who watches our show because it's a big platform. But it has gone a little bit quiet on that at the moment. So, you know, that is a little bit disappointing, I agree. But I don't feel that the fire's gone out. There's still a lot of things going on. And, everyone's got to make their own mind up. Everyone's got to make their own mind up. It was only Friday that the letter came from the Glazers, and people don't accept it. So that's the general consensus, isn't it? But I hope the club does spend big in the summer. That doesn't mean that you're falling for the Glazer trap. That means that United are playing football matches next season. And this is bigger than United winning games. United won yesterday. Did everyone say, oh, we're not Glazers out? United are going to win the Europa League, I think, in a couple of weeks. Does that mean you're not Glazers out? It's bigger. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. On Sancho, just to say, so Bayern Munich apparently interested in Sancho. I think he's going to come back to the Premier League. And I think the problem that United have got here is that there will be competition for him. It might be Liverpool. It might be Chelsea. And United had no competition last summer and they messed it up. When United are in competition with people, they tend to mess it up. And we don't talk about it enough because we're talking about the team and we're talking about the Glazers. But remember, Murta, Fletcher, Judges, you know, these are the people involved in transfers now. This is our new director of football team. They've got a very big summer ahead of them as well. United will put it out there that they're not interested in Jadon Sancho if they're not going to sign him. But the reality is, you are interested in Jadon Sancho. You were desperate to get him last summer. Ollie was speaking to him. Sancho thought he was coming to United. Don't try and pretend that you don't want him anymore because you've got other priorities, because you haven't solved the right wing position. You haven't solved the creative issue. We thought that maybe Amad Diallo might be that, but he's not. Amad Diallo is clearly not going to be used as our right winger yet because he's just not been trusted. So he's off on loan in the summer, or he's going to be in the reserves or whatever. So we still need one. And I'd be interested to see what happens in relation to that, because he would be a very interesting player for United, but he can't be the only player. We can't just buy Jadon Sancho and say we're fine. I'll say what I said yesterday, and I've said it for a long time. If United's priority isn't a centre defensive midfielder and a centre back, then we haven't got a bloody clue about how to improve this team. Been speaking about it for a while as well. I mean, realistically, how important is Jadon Sancho when he would effectively be benching Rashford and Greenwood? Because I saw somebody yesterday, I must bring this in, there is some more news. Look, and I'm not obsessed with Declan Rice. It could be Ndidi, it could be Bissouma, it could be a few players, but we need to bring a CDM in. But I want to bring this in. Somebody sent me a screenshot yesterday. I don't even know who the Twitter account is, so I'm not going to shout them out because some people might think they're right or wrong. I don't want to put in them that situation where they might get a bit of shit. But it was a point that some people seem to appreciate, and it was something along the lines of all these Martial fans talking about no service and now Cavani scoring goals. Sit down, losers. And I think what it was basically saying is that, you know, Martial's had a bad season, which even as a Martial fan, I know he's had a bad season. But it was basically saying that it was a myth that when Martial was playing, he wasn't getting any service. And I'm like, this is the danger of watching football on who scored instead of actually watching the game. Because the reality is, we've been talking about this on this channel for probably a month. There's been a major change. If you talk about evolution of Manchester United and philosophy, change in style of play, you're not seeing things if you think that we're playing the same way we did for the first 6-7 months of the season. There has been an evolution. Not at the back. It's still Maguire and Lindelof. It's still McFred. It's still compact. It's still protect. But in the front four positions, there's been a real change. We've played, and I stand by this, Cavani, Martial, Greenwood, sometimes Rashford, when they played at number 9 for Manchester United between September and March, it was a graveyard shift. They weren't getting any service. And they weren't getting any service because the opposition were swamping Bruno, and we had two wide forwards, mainly Greenwood and Rashford, who don't really create and want to score goals themselves. And we weren't creating chances for our number 9, whether it was Cavani, Martial, they weren't getting many chances. In the last 4 weeks, Cavani has had probably more chances than he's had all season. Unbelievable amount of chances. Why? Well, you know why. Paul Pogba. He's put Paul Pogba in an advanced position with Bruno. Opposition can't swamp Bruno because you leave Pogba. So there's more space for Pogba and Bruno. There's definitely more synergy there. And Cavani is suddenly getting a lot more chances. And we've got one wide forward, whether it be Greenwood and Rashford. And it works better. We're more creative. I mean, look, it's not rocket science. Man United are creating more chances for their number 9 by playing another more creative player. Pogba's not looking to score goals, he's looking to create goals. Bruno does score goals, but he's looking to create as well. Rashford and Greenwood are more looking to score goals. There's nothing against them, they're wide forwards. And Cavani's benefiting from it. It is no longer a graveyard shift to be a Manchester United number 9 in the way that we're playing at the moment. If Ramos goes to PSG, I mean, we had 4 shots on goal in the first 10 minutes yesterday. We've got to half time and not had a shot on goal quite a lot of times over the last couple of years. If Ramos goes to PSG, would you take Kimpembe to United? You know what, Dave? I've got to say, I watched him a bit. I must have watched him 3 or 4 times in the last 2 months, and which is more than I normally watch PSG. And I've got to say, I'm not a massive fan of him. No, not as the player that we need. I want a top quality centre-back. Donny would help Martial. We just need to get the ball up consistently, says Matt Hunt. And get Koundé, Bissouma and Grealish, then we will win the league, says Agre. It's sort of a Poundland version of Sancho, Varane and Rice. But, you know, I don't mean that in a bad way. I still think it'd be good. Just want to bring in here as well about... I spoke about Varane, spoke about Maguire, spoke about Cavani, spoke about Sancho. Just want to talk about James Garner. Scored a very good goal at the weekend on loan at Forest at the moment in the Championship. There is talk about him going back there because Man United are very happy with how he's been used. He's played a lot of football. He's done very, very well there. There's talk about him going to Europe, but there's also talk about Solskjaer assessing Garner in July when we come back for pre-season training. I really hope that he goes on loan again because the season he's had, especially the last 3 or 4 months, has been amazing for his development. And I believe that in Garner, we've got a player. All right, he's not quite Greenwood. Greenwood's a generational talent. But in Garner, I think we've got a very, very good player there. And it's what we do with him over the next year that's really important. He is exceptionally good. And people say, well, why is he not playing for Man United? Because playing for Man United as a midfielder when you're just 20 is rare. It's very rare. Look at Gerrard. I mean, Fabregas was doing it at Arsenal, but it's very rare to do it. I don't actually... This is the one area I think Ollie... Well, there's a few areas, but one of the big areas I don't actually think Ollie does well on is developing players. And I know people will say, well, look at Greenwood, but Greenwood's a generational talent. I think Greenwood would be playing for Stoke. I think Greenwood would be playing for West Brom. I think, you know, you can't ignore a player like that. But when I look at Brandon Williams, came into the team, looked very good 18 months ago. We've not seen him at all this year. He's lost a year. And I'm just worried with Garner that he comes back in the summer. He does well. Ollie's like, you're not going on loan, Garnery. You're staying here. And then we start the season and it's like, I'm not going to use him though, Carricky. He's a good player. Let's have him training with the first team and let's play him in the Carabao Cup for 10 minutes. And he won't play. And he needs to play. And I think he's got a very big future at United. But I think his future at United has to be he plays. Now, is he going to go into the team next season? I can't see it. I cannot see it. I don't think Ollie manages like that. You can't say, let's keep Garner and play him. When Donny van der Beek's been bought for 35 million, he doesn't use him. When Brandon Williams hasn't been used, when Twansebi doesn't get used, there is no evidence that Ollie would play Garner for 30 games next season. So to me, Garner's got to go on loan for another year, preferably to Brighton or a Premier League club and play 30 games next season. That's what I want to see for Garner. Because Garner on loan, playing regularly, will develop his career so much better than being sat on United's bench hardly playing. So that, you know... And I think anybody who says, well, he might start, you've got to look at what's happened this year. Where's the evidence that Ollie is going to chuck a 20-year-old into our midfield, considering the amount of players that haven't been used? So I want him to go on loan next season. Hi, Mark. How would you feel if Pogba went on a free to rival like Chelsea? And also, do you think Lukaku was disrespected by our fans, says Uzar? I've got no interest in Lukaku because I've got no interest in Di Maria. I've got no interest in Alexis Sanchez. I've got no interest in Ashley Young. They're former players. I agreed with Solskjaer getting rid of Lukaku, and I've always been consistent about that. I know why people say it's a mistake. I think Ashley Young said it was a mistake the other day. I don't think it was a mistake, because I think that since Lukaku's left, we've finished third and second. We've finished in the top four twice for 2 years in a row for the first time since Sir Alex Ferguson left. I don't think Lukaku at United was a bad player. I just don't think he fits the way we want to play. Lukaku is a penalty box striker, and we haven't been creating chances for Lukaku. Now, I think Lukaku in this team would be good, but the team we were up until a month ago, I don't think he would. In the graveyard shift, Lukaku offers you nothing. In a team like we are now, I think we would have created a chance for... Look, we're creating chances for Cavani, so we would create chances for Lukaku. But over the last 18 months, I think we suited Rashford's, Martial, Greenwood's flair strikers more than strikers. So I think that moving Lukaku on was the right thing to do. What was the second question? I can't remember what it was. You guys need to stop cheating instability with your... what are you talking about? Solskjaer doesn't develop players. He recognises talent. Haaland used one of the youngest squads in the Norwegian Championship. If you're good enough, you're old enough, says Matt. Why are you talking to me about Mulder? Managing Mulder is like managing a bloody wheelbarrow instead of B&Q. Like, it's different. You know, selling a few items out your wheelbarrow on your front yard compared to managing a B&Q superstore. I mean... I've got no interest in that. But you know what, Mats? That's your opinion. Well done. Enjoy it. And crack on. My opinion is that I want Garner to go on loan because I don't think Ollie, and it's because of the pressures of managing a big club like United, you can't just drop a 20-year-old and say, let's go and play 30 games. You can't drop a 20-year-old into Man United's midfield next season, because the first game of the season you get beat 3-2 by Villa and Garner's not had a great game and everyone said, don't do that again. Like, it's a different way of doing things. And I think that we've already seen the evidence of that. Tell me how many times Van der Beek started. How many times has Twansebi started? How many times has Brandon Williams started? How many times has Diallo played since we brought him in January? The evidence is already there that for Garner, the best thing to do is go on loan. Unless you think training with the first team is a development tool. I don't think it is. I think a development tool is playing first team competitive football. But if you think different, that's absolutely fine. Of course it is. Twansebi and Bailly to start tomorrow, do you reckon? So, well, I'm going to do the preview for the Leicester game at 2 o'clock today. So we'll talk about that then. Quite strong opinions on that. I think that I think the Premier League may as well call themselves the Super League. I think the integrity of the Premier League is flawed based on what United have got to do tomorrow night. I think it's an absolute joke. And people can say, well, you've already got second place, but what if we didn't? What if we didn't? We didn't when they set these fixtures. What if we'd lost 4-0 yesterday? What if West Ham had won? What if what if we lost to Leicester and Liverpool and everyone else kept winning and we ended up outside the top four? The integrity of the Premier League is a disgrace. And for me, if you can do this to a team, where's the integrity of the league? You can't do it, but they've done it. The Glazers are taking the fans for a ride and Ollie's at the wheel, says Geordie. Ollie said players who played on Thursday won't train today. Well, we'll talk about that at 2 o'clock because that's what we're going to be doing there. I've got a few minutes left. I've whizzed through a lot today, so smash a like on the video. So if you've got a few questions that you want to chuck in, then please do. Also, looks like Mengi will stay at Derby next year. Obviously, he's on loan there. Zed Jamie says, according to the Mirror, it's suggested De Gea is not guaranteed to play the final. Would be a ridiculous decision not to. Mate, I wouldn't be surprised if he drops De Gea in the final. I'm not going to talk about De Gea versus Henderson much unless it's around transfers, because I think the whole De Gea-Henderson debate is laughable, really. I think that David De Gea had a fantastic season, and I think actually he'd be probably a contender for player of the year if he hadn't had to share the role with Henderson. I think Henderson's come in and done reasonably well. I still think that, even yesterday there was a couple of times where I was like, but he's a good goalkeeper, but we've put ourselves into a situation here that is just ridiculous. And look, it seems to me it's very clear that Ollie's made his mind up already that Henderson's going to be his number one, and therefore he may well drop him for the final. But I'd be disappointed if Ollie did that, because the reality is we're only in the final because of De Gea, and it's very rare that that happens with any player. But we are only in the final because of De Gea. Like, Roma beat us 3-2 and De Gea was world class. So you've got to add at least two or three more goals on to Roma for that if he doesn't play like that. So De Gea has to play in the final. But, maybe Ollie will go and... I don't know. Especially if it's his last... If it's going to be his last game at the club, he's been a United great. You've got to put him in goal. But we'll see. I will dream till it's no longer mathematically possible we can win the league, says Omka. Yep, keep dreaming. I'm not sure if there is a press conference for Ollie. I'm not sure if there is a press conference for today. If anybody knows that, then let me know. We will react to it if there is one, but we're going to be live at 2 o'clock anyway for the preview. If there's a press conference, it normally comes out at 1:30, so we'll react to that. Romero played the final. Yes, he did, said Jamie. What if we can find a legal way to shut down all the sponsors' website and the United store, says James. Yeah, crack on with that if you want, mate. Henderson will be like Roy Carroll, says Anthony White. Oh, I think Henderson's a very good goalkeeper. I don't want to fall into the trap of picking a side. I just think that De Gea should play in the final. Mark, why don't you think there is any news floating around CDMs, says Advath. It's a good point. It is a good point. I don't know why. When you look at who is talking about United transfers and where they might be getting that information from, they're always talking about strikers. They're always talking about strikers or right wingers or centre backs and not CDM. So it worries me a little bit. Any update on the Declan Rice transfer? So, I mean, look, I wanted West Ham to win yesterday because I want Lingard to do well. But the flip side of that is that West Ham won't get Champions League football now. They lost to Everton. They're not going to get Champions League football. It's going to be... It's obviously... We've got Champions League football, by the way. That's been confirmed with West Ham losing. So David Moyes finally secures Man United Champions League football. But Man City, Man United, Chelsea, and then Leicester or Liverpool are going to get Champions League football. So it's not going to be West Ham. And... You know what? If Liverpool are in the race for Sancho, we really need to get Liverpool in the Europa League because he won't go there then. Apparently, there are barriers around Old Trafford to prevent further protests, says Sammy. Yeah, they put them up at the weekend. And Mark, I'm really hoping the Glazers sell the team because I want a Bruno jersey, says AJ Flores. I think that with West Ham not getting Champions League football, that surely opens the door to Declan Rice leaving this summer. However, they will be probably getting the Europa League, and that may be something that he wants to stay and do. So we'll see what happens with that. I mean, look, on Declan Rice, I can only tell you what I know. He wants to go to Chelsea. If Chelsea want him, he will go to Chelsea. If Chelsea don't want him, then there's a chance. Buy Son, Rice and Lamptey for 60 million and we're good. Manila, how are you getting Son, Rice and Lamptey for 60 million? It's a bit like buying a United shirt, a fake one. It's not the real Son, Rice and Lamptey. If you're getting them for 60 million, you've been conned. Ollie deserves credit for the fitness of our team. No coincidence we played better second half. We look a fitter than others, especially in the final minutes, says Aram. You know what? That is a really good point, Aram. I'm glad you brought it up because we're very close to 43,000, by the way. So please subscribe, bottom right-hand corner. Very close. We're only 10 away. I think all United fans over the last 6-7 years have been really critical of United's fitness department. It's been a joke. It's been a real joke. Under Mourinho, even under Sir Alex at the end, under Moyes, we've been terrible. Absolutely terrible. Here we are in May, and the only injury we've really got is Phil Jones. So, you know, credit where it's due, the fitness department at United. And look, you know what? One sunny day doesn't make a summer. So you can't just say... We're through it, but the injuries we expected haven't materialised. When you look at what's happened to Liverpool this year, and you look at United, we've played ridiculous amounts of games, and he hasn't really rotated beyond the same 13, 14 players. It is a major achievement what's been achieved, and the fitness department does deserve a lot of credit. And this is what I'm talking about. The fitness department, I've slated it. I'm sure you've slated it, but they've been really good this year. You can't just be stubborn and say, oh, United's fitness department's crap. You know, they've actually have done a really good job this year and we have reaped the benefits because Ollie's been able to pick the same 13 players, game in, game out, every 3 days. That is an amazing amount of work on conditioning. So they do deserve a lot of credit for that. They've done very well this year. Sub says, is CDM a priority or a centre-back? I think it's very, very close. I don't know what the live comments think or everybody who's watching think. I think that it's close. They're both massively important. But for me, at this moment in time, CDM is more important. I mean, look, I don't really like Lindelof with Maguire, but you could always use Bay. And I still think Twansebi's good enough. But there's not a lot we can do in that midfield. Like, there is no combination in that midfield that makes me feel happy. Like, we desperately need a specialist centre defensive midfielder. Matic is toast. McTominay and Fred can't do it. When Pogba plays with Fred or McTominay, it's a mess because the one player's not good enough to run the midfield with Pogba allowed to get forward. So, we need it. Is it Ollie's priority? I can't read that, Salah Ahmed. I don't know why he's retracted that. I was just about to read it. Mark, I'm from Walsall, said somebody there. Well, someone's got to live there, Jahid. Well done. And most people are saying CDM is more important as well. Right. Well, we're back at 2 o'clock because we've got the preview for Leicester, which is tomorrow night. We may get some press conference stuff as well. Ollie normally does it. He may have been asked about it after the game yesterday, or he might be doing something live today. I don't know. But we will be live at 2 o'clock with all of that. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Smash a like on the video. We've got no update on Harry Maguire at the moment. I imagine he'll have a scan today. I feel with Maguire that he will be okay, but it's only a hunch. He could be out for 6 weeks. It could be a season ender, but I've got a feeling he will be back for Liverpool. But, you know, I've got no I've got no information on that. What are the odds of a Maguire-Jones partnership, says Manila? I mean, I'm sure they'll play together next season. I can't see who's going to buy Phil Jones, but, you know, hopefully it'll just be in an exhibition game. Anyway, look, thanks everyone for watching. Please smash a like on the video, subscribe bottom right-hand corner, and I'll see you at 2 o'clock for the Leicester preview, where I am actually going to unload. I'm not happy, but we'll keep it back for that. Thanks for watching.